You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our number is 564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com to listen to past programs and find real estate information. You can call me after the program at 452-CHAT, 452-2428.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're about 30 minutes late. What you don't want to hear from the producer is, something's wrong now, just as you're coming back, but it was just it was a false start. Oh, goodness. Dr. Bill Watkins. I have my buddy Jeff, who was on last week. He was doing his recount of some rental stories, tenant-landlord relations. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for getting back on with me.
Hey, Mark. Nice to be here.
I just, there was two things. There was one thing that I meant to mention to you, and we ran out of time, and then something else came up as well. So I thought it'd be get your opinion on this. One is kind of on a personal note. We have flashbacks in the local newspaper here, the Santa Barbara News Press. Have you heard of it?
No.
And they do a. You mean you haven't heard of the News Press or the flashbacks?
I have heard of the News Press.
It yes, you newspaper. Used to live in Santa Barbara.
It is a newspaper.
Is
we're tracking.
So, Southern California now, out in the Inland Empire, actually, is where Jeff resides. So, little flashback today, and it's you could also call it today in history.
Okay.
And they had a highlight on December 5th, 1933, when Prohibition came to an end. They ratified the 21st Amendment, repealing the 18th Amendment. National Prohibition came to an end December 5th, 1933. Prohibition meaning you can drink. And I just wanted you to tell your mom that Prohibition is over.
I'll be sure and get her the headline.
I'll mail this to you.
Yeah, her Quaker background will really appreciate that, Mark.
She is living in the past.
Yeah, right.
A sweet woman, but I spent the weekend in Thanksgiving where we were living in a house, and she wouldn't even let me use Listerine.
No.
There's alcohol in Listerine.
It's pretty sterile.
Brutal.
That's good.
Good old mom, and I'm sorry I didn't get the flippies to her. I should have mailed her some flippies when she's going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
How many grandchildren does she actually have? She wanted 10 flippies. She wanted to give them to her children.
Right.
How about if I just, how many grandchildren?
Probably about 10, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm really sorry I didn't get it to her then before. Okay, now here's a little real estate scenario I read about.
Okay.
Guy writes in, he's been living in a 6-unit. Rent-controlled Los Angeles apartment for 9 years. Now, in the past, the owner of the building paid a nominal amount to one of the tenants to take out the trash once a week. Now the tenant is ill. He's unable to take out the trash. So the owner left everyone a note. That would mean the 5 other tenants, saying that they would now have to share the responsibility taking out the trash once a week. There's nothing in the rental agreement about taking out the trash. Can he do that? Shouldn't we at least get some kind of nominal payment for this new chore? Well, in their answer, part of they deal with, you know, if you employ tenants to do things, you better be careful, because if he trips while he's taking out the garbage, remember we covered this last week with Ron Wolf, suddenly you're an employer.
Right.
And you have no insurance to cover him, or perhaps you don't. But my first answer was, and they went on to answer that, well, maybe you could. My first answer was, how ungrateful and petty are you? You've lived 9 years in a rent-controlled apartment, and now the guy is asking you to take your own trash, not to cut the common lawn or do something, to take your own garbage and bring it to the curb. And I just thought, geez. This is, you know, now, maybe this landlord is a horrible person, and this tenant's an angel, but, God, in a normal situation, am I wrong? Is this guy ungrateful, or what?
Well, keep in mind, on last week's show, I'm the guy who shamed one of my tenants into picking up his own cigarette butts, and I'm also the guy who can be seen picking up trash, and I hired a gardener, and one of the preconditions for his employ was that he would mow my lawns on Wednesday and take out the trash cans, because Thursday morning between 6 and 6:30, the trash people come so early. Because I have found that it doesn't matter whether I, because in some ways it's kind of like rent control. I don't raise rent on my tenants, but as I think benevolent as I am, I cannot ask a tenant really to do anything. The closest I've come is to put a note in a laundry room where I sweep up lint and pick up crud and Snickers bar wrappers and candy stuff, and you can't believe what happens in laundry rooms.
Hypodermic needles?
Thank you. I can't, and the note will end up in the trash. You know, can we all just, you know, kind of keep it, you know, clean in here?
Okay, so you're saying that maybe this landlord just needs to take care of his business, and
it's a nice try. It's not, you would think it's not too much to ask, but I have to actually pay people to take out trash cans and clean laundry rooms and sweep out carports and driveways. It's an amazing thing. I'm not saying it's a sense of entitlement, because even I would think it's the least you can do. I'm with you. I'm tracking with you. But my 25 years of experience tells me if I actually rely on it happening, that'll be the trash that doesn't get taken out. And sometimes it will get taken out, and I'll be surprised.
Or that'll be the guy that trips. Yeah. And sues your daughter to get her back molars filled with gold, so she'll, you know, that'll be your luck.
Yeah, and he'll say to the judge, "Yeah, my landlord, he asked me to do it."
All right. Well, you know what? You brought up a good point, which is why I called you. You can always balance my craziness with Jeff's human civility, as he said last week. Now, I also want to tell you, Jeff, I'm really kind of depressed because there was a house that I wanted to buy, and it just closed escrow. I missed out on buying this house. I don't think I really told you about this. And it was up at 1926 Santa Barbara Street, which is just below Mission. And you can't see it. It's got a 15-foot wall Eugenia hedge, which Jeff thinks is a maintenance nightmare. Won't have hedges.
Correct.
But it looks like a beautiful wall, and you normally when you write an offer, you write a deposit check that's held by the broker until you officially open escrow, and then that deposit check is then brought to escrow.
Right.
And you give a copy of the deposit check, show it to the seller, so you say, here's what my plan is, here's what I'm doing. So I wrote an offer on this place and gave them a copy of my mega lotto ticket. With the assumption, I was very certain that I was going to win and be able to afford to buy this $4,195,000 house.
Can you pronounce contingency?
Can you pronounce restraining order? So they rejected my offer out of hand. There is a rule that an agent does not have to present an offer to a seller if it's deemed
unreasonable
or absurd. There's actually a better term that I can't think of. And although, in fact, I made this story up, I would say that that would qualify for the absurd offer that the agent would not be required to present to the seller. But just think about it, Jeff. I never really thought about wanting to own a $4.2 million house. But if I had netted $95 million from that mega, I thought, you know what? I kind of like this house. The taxes alone, when you buy a house like this, is about $46,000 a year, just for the taxes. And, you know, you'd need a full-time gardener. It was a 6,800-square-foot home. It was built in 1916. And, Jeff, you just walked in. Just the vestibule, the opening of the hallway was the size of it was a giant room, and the staircase sweeping up to the side wasn't a super grand staircase. I've seen better, but it was still really sweet and wide. And just the parlor room and the living room, I mean, giant rooms, and just the molding and the classic. Oh, I just fell in love with this house.
Jeez.
And I'll give you a tip. You own vintage kind of homes, built at turn of the century kind of homes. And I was up in the hallway, and it was pointed out to me. I walked by in the hallway, and there was a what looked to be a, like a cabinet. It was had a it was framed with classic molding. It had a an old fashioned knob, and it was a little door. It was a little cabinet door like you'd see in a little bathroom. Opened it up. It was the electrical panel. So a great idea to hide something unsightly. You could I hang a picture in front of mine, but they used some thick molding to bring it away from the wall so they could hang the hinges, and they made it look like a classic old cabinet.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. You know, great great idea. Well, you actually live in one of those type of old vintage homes, so you probably want to do something like that. But anyway, that was it had the walls were almost a foot thick.
Wow.
And
by the way, Mark, when you talk about making an offer that might be considered absurd, I think the word you were looking for is a serious offer.
Like Sirius satellite radio?
I'm not talking about Howard Stern here.
And it's serious would be serious. Now there's a term that we learned when we got into real estate here, and I can't remember what it is. It's not fraudulent. It's something that's not serious. That's certainly true. And it's just not going to happen.
Well,
now, I will tell you a true story about a woman who I represented as a buyer, and I don't know if we wrote the offer on this. This is these condos that are up on State Street, up near Constance.
Right.
Do you know?
No, I don't know. I'm not familiar with Constance.
Okay, if you know Mission and State Street, you go up about another five blocks. It's before. It's just where State Street starts to curve, and then it would hit De La Vina.
Now I'm with you.
There's these large complex of condos that used to be co-ops, in fact, which is a very a rarity, I think, in the South Coast here. I don't know if you have them down where you live. Distinguishing them from condos as co-ops.
Not sure.
They're very prevalent back east where I grew up, outside of New York City. And in the co-op, you don't own the airspace. It's not fee simple title as in a condo or in a single family home where you take title. And that's why a lot of lenders locally were a little skittish from the handful, I don't know how many we had in town. A couple of them have converted from co-ops to condos. But you don't get a title where you own the airspace in a condo or the land and the walls in a home. You own a share of a corporation that owns the property in its entirety.
Oh.
So it's kind of it can be a nightmare with lenders. At least here it has been. So at one point these were co-ops and some of them converted to condos. And so this woman was a single woman. I think you had to be at one point over 55, and that has subsequently changed for some of those units as well. And this woman wanted to buy this one-bedroom unit, and I can't remember. It was so long ago whether we wrote an offer and didn't get it or she just hesitated, and it went into escrow and sold. She was a wonderful woman. She would go around. She would literally walk by the house and look in the windows. After this new person moved in, she was virtually stalking the new owner. She might have only done it once, but she did it. She was so distraught. And the reason why I bring it up is we ended up in a place for her out at the off the corner of Fairview Avenue and Kyrial, off the Fairview Avenue exit out there. And Jeff, this could be good for you when you want to retire to Santa Barbara. It's an adult community, condos, with a 9-hole golf course, par 3.
Whoa, that's nice.
Is that amazing?
That's nice.
And that's where she ended up. And she's very happy.
Oh, good for her.
So I don't envision myself stalking 1926 Santa Barbara Street. It wasn't for real. But
did she make a serious offer on the place?
You know, I can't remember. I can't remember if we wrote an offer and got beat out Or my thinking is that she had just started looking and didn't have all her ducks lined up and wasn't prepared to write an offer. And we just, it was like the first one we looked at and she loved it, and then it just sold immediately. I think that was the case. I think that was the case. Well, we're, let's see. I got a couple of bits of local Santa Barbara news that I just thought I'd read, and then we'll take a break. We'll come back for the fourth segment with the weekly multiple listing update. But since you're on the phone, do you want to listen to it?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
You know, you used to live in Santa Barbara. We met back in 1977 at UCSB. Stayed here for a couple of years. Actually, Jeff was living at student housing.
At Stork Road.
Stork Road. Lived in a couple of places. Actually lived down on Salina Street in a little trailer.
Yep.
And
ran the the Blue Sands Motel down off of Milpas toward Cabrillo Boulevard.
Is that the second one in from the ocean?
Yes. It's right behind the nice one. I think it's changed hands.
Right.
I don't know where it's called now.
Yeah, they have this second-story restaurant up there that you could look out forever. It used to be kind of a reasonably priced place. Now it's called Citron.
Oh, okay.
What is it, the Santa Barbara Inn? I don't know. Okay, so we're going to just give you three quick bits, and then we got to run, okay?
Okay, go.
Let's see. Okay. Oh, here's one. I saw Law and Order last week. He managed in one episode to swipe and knock down the Jews and realtors. Thanks, Dick. You know he lives in Montecito? Dick Wolf?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm kidding. He's kind of rough. I don't agree with a lot of his politics. I don't know if it's him or whatever, but Law and Order is my favorite show, so giving homage to them. Now, here's the City of Santa Barbara's airport expansion plans are being questioned by so-called slow-growth Galicians. When questioned about the city of Goleta's alternative plan, a Goleta spokesman said that they feel that their horse and buggy depot has much potential. Jeff, they're kind of against expanding.
That would be almost an Amish show.
Yeah, we'll get your mom back in here with
that's right.
Horse and buggy and drinking. City of Santa Barbara police busted teenagers and homeless for smoking pot in a downtown park area, right off State Street. Authorities acknowledge that the ironic twist was that those busted had actually used their panhandled money for food, in contrast to their alcoholic fellow street people. And finally, down on 101 in Castillo, there's an underpass down there, Jeff?
Yes.
And they've spent, millions of dollars. I don't know what they spent. And still, after all this, there's still water down at the bottom. And someone wrote an article last week. So I want to confess, just as a joke, I've been renting a water truck and driving out there around 3, 4 in the morning and dumping water. So people start up in the morning and they go, what the hell's going on? This thing isn't working. So I'm going to stop. I apologize. Jeff, send my love to your mom. Call her in Hawaii. I got to run. Thanks for joining
me. You bet. It was fun.
Okay, Jeff. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. We'll come back for the fourth and final segment with our weekly multiple listing update. It's about 7 minutes to the hour.